morning to everybody. How's everybody doing?
Awesome.
Could you turn that a little bit on Zoom? I know that computer. Just a little bit. They'd be talking about, we can't see him. He's off to the corner. There you go. Hey, man. Good morning. Good morning, Zoom land. I know you can hear me. Good morning to everyone. God, the song selection was good this morning.
Yeah.
Great job by Richard and Nora. See, Richard, we need to put that song in rotation that Nora chose. That's a really moving and a compelling song.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. Great to see how God uses her to just bring these things to light to us. Amen. Guys, this morning we're going to talk about our hearts. Mm-hmm. Oh, our hearts. They are something else.
Fragile.
You know, but God designed those hearts to pump out all the carbon monoxide at your body, believe it or not, so that you can breathe, inhale and exhale and take in some good air.
Amen.
But also, God designed that heart to have a spiritual connection with Him.
Amen.
And the only way you can connect with God is you have to willingly want to be in a relationship with Him. Let me ask you a question. What kind of heart do you have at this moment? You have to think about that. You know, we as people, we are, some days we're one way, and some days we're another way. Some days we feel a certain way, and some days we feel another certain way.
Right.
Jeremiah 17:9 says, "Who can understand the heart? For it is deceitful."
That's right.
You would like to think, well, God, my heart's not deceitful. I'm not sure. You might have been talking back to those people. But there's no way my heart can be deceitful, God. And God's probably saying right now, see? See, you're missing a point. Above all, the heart is deceitful. Who can understand it? Why would God say that through Jeremiah? Because God wants us to understand that we as human beings, we as men and women, we have no control over what the heart does.
That's right.
We think that we control the heart, but we don't. The heart can be misled so easily.
Mm-hmm.
But there's another scripture in Proverbs 23:26. God says, "Give me your heart and let your eyes delight my ways." Mm-hmm. There's two contrasts. Mm-hmm. God says, when you're in control of your own heart, who knows what's going to happen? Who knows how you're going to feel from one day to the next? But God says, if you give Him your heart, oh man, your eyes will delight in His ways. It makes so much sense. He's the one that created you. He created your heart. So who would know best about your heart, you or God? We would like to think that we know best, but God knows better. Turn with me over to the Gospel of Mark chapter 4. We're going to discuss more about the heart and what it means to give our heart to God. And also what it means to watch out for certain hearts that are no good for you in your relationship with God. Chapter 4, we're very familiar with this, the parable of the sower. Very familiar with this. Some of us, early on, we read it, we're like, okay, I think I get it. You grow a little more in the faith, I think I get a little more. You grow a little more faith, I think I get it. But as time goes on, and as you stick with it, and you continue to pray about scriptures and dig into scripture, God would give you a discerning heart that begins to understand what this is about. And as we know, for those of us who've been with us studying the Gospel of Mark, as we know in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus has been preaching, He's been teaching, and He has been healing.
Amen.
Those are some great things. I'm telling you, nothing more would draw you to somebody when somebody can do something for you that makes your life better.
That's right.
Think about it. If somebody continues to give you money, are you going to stop coming?
No.
The hand will stay out. As long as you give, I'm willing to receive. If somebody improves and do your lawn or do something in your house or make the plumbing better, the electrician better, make the AC and the heat work right, and they do it for free, are you going to stop them from coming? Oh, no. They're improving life. People are witnessing Jesus do miraculous things. Things they have never seen before. They are watching Jesus heal their loved ones and also watching themselves be healed. But you know, you would think that with all this, people would truly be genuine. But as we're going to find out here, Jesus is going to point out a few things. Starting in verse 1, it says, again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake. While all the people were along the shore at the water's edge, it says, he taught them many things by parables. And in his teaching, he said, listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seeds, he says, fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so that they did not hear, so they did not bear grain. He says, still other seeds fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop. Some multiplying 30, some 60, and some 100 times. Then Jesus said, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. He says, when he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But to those on the outside, everything is said in parables.
Yeah.
So that they may be ever seeing, but never perceiving. And ever hearing, but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven. That's powerful. Yet, and then you're like, wait a minute. What do you mean you don't want nobody to be forgiven? You don't want nobody to know? You know, research this and study this out to understand it. But I got what Jesus was saying. Jesus said, with all the crowd of people that are coming out, they're coming out to see him just like today. They're coming out to church, thousands in big church. Jesus says, I'm not impressed.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Because Jesus says, I see the hearts. Mm-hmm. And just because you're here physically doesn't mean your heart's here. That's what Jesus was pointing at.
Yep.
Jesus said, the reason why I speak in parable is because those whose hearts are truly for me, they're going to fight to understand this parable. They're going to fight to understand the things that I'm trying to teach them. Jesus said, I want them to realize the importance of investing in the relationship that I want to build with you and just not only showing up for what I can do for you.
That's
fine. People today come to church because they want to know what God can do for them.
Yep.
Over 26 and a half years ago, when I came to church, I was in a bind in my life as a young man. And for a long time, I turned away from God. But when my situation started changing for the worse, I decided I wanted to go to church because I wanted to see what God could do for me.
Okay.
I remember that. I want to see what God could do for me. Oh, God did some things for me. It was not what I wanted.
Right.
But he did some things for me.
Right.
And me and God, we tussled and we fought, and I didn't like it. And I remember the brothers, we sat out on the side of the street corner, and I remember being mad, and I'm like, this ain't right. I remember punching the telephone pole. This ain't right. This ain't what I came to church for. And the brother says, I don't know what you came for, but God invited you for a certain reason. He wants to change your life. Mm-hmm. You see, Jesus says, I'm not impressed with all the crowds that show up. Because everybody's here. Their heart is not here.
Mm-hmm.
God said, they're not real. But God said, if they give me a chance, I can show them why they're really supposed to be here. Sometimes we as people, we can be impressed with the crowd. They're like, oh, we got a great number of people out the church. Oh, things are great. People are coming. But for those of us who've been around for a while, visitors come and visitors go. But then some do stick. And then some do study the Bible. And they commit their life to Christ.
That's right.
Just like yesterday. It was great to see Miss Corey Scott.
Yes, right.
Man, get baptized and commit to the Lord. As Peter said, she wasn't there to take a bath. No, sir.
No,
she wasn't there for that. She was there to pledge her conscience, her whole soul to God.
That's right.
Change her life. You see, that's what Jesus is looking for. You know, just because you have a growing number of people following you, it does not mean that their heart is with you or for you.
That's right.
All people wanted was what Jesus could do for them. Do you want to give God your heart and commit to Him your loyalty? Or do you just want God to do for you without any commitment to Him? Why follow Christ? Why be a disciple? Why are you in the good fight? The type of commitment Jesus wants is more than just showing up on Sunday and a Wednesday or a Bible study. The commitment that Jesus wants from you is every day. Get up and have a quiet time. Imitate Jesus. Get up in the morning. Crack the Bible open. Even if you're only going to read one scripture, crack the Bible open. Get up in the morning, pray and talk to God. He's always listening. He's waiting for you to hear. I'm saying He's waiting for you. He's like, talk. Talk to me. And talk to God without expecting anything in return. You know how we are. Well, I want to tell you something, but I'm hoping you show up. I'm you on the clock right now, God. God's like, what? God, what you get more spent time with every morning? You see, committing to God, giving God your heart, it's about allowing God to use you to serve in your community, to serve strangers, serve people at your job, to serve family, to be involved, to not just go to work, come home, watch your favorite show, do what you want to do, eat your food, and then expect God to continue to supply you every day so you can continue to do the same habit over and over. God says, I want you to be like Jesus. Jesus poured his heart into people, even though he knew that everybody did not pour their heart into him. Jesus poured his heart into people over and over and over because he wanted them to see the light. He wanted them to see the promises that God has for them. Are you willing to pour your heart into people over and over and into the community? You know, when I read this last part, and he says, otherwise they might turn and be forgiven. You know, Jesus is like, you only appreciate something when you work for it.
That's right.
Now, there's a whole bunch of people in the world who says, I'm not saved by works. I'm saved by grace. I get you. And it's easy to take your feelings, once again, to allow your heart to deceive you, that all I got to do is just stay alive and God's going to take care of me. It's easy. It's kind of like growing up in a house. Many of us have been kids. We've been raised by grandparents, aunts, parents alike. And some of us had chores. And we realized that, guess what? The only way I got my allowance was if I what? Did my chores. God knows. But wait a minute. I'm your child. Aren't you supposed to give to me? I'm your child. You're my parent. I'm under grace. Aren't you supposed to give to me? You see, we don't think that way. We just think like, no, I'm God's child. And God is supposed to give to me. Grace, God, grace. Remember grace. I'm going to cut the food. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm not going to act righteous. But grace, I can tell you plenty of times my parents punished me. I'm from the old school. I know switches, I know belts, I know paddles, I know a whole lot of tools ever used to scrape me out. And they did it out of love. Lord, if they had given me too much grace, what would I have grown up to be like? God wants you to appreciate the relationship that he wants to build with you. But God said, in order for you to appreciate it, you're going to have to put some work in.
That's right.
You're going to have to build. You have to do your part to build a relationship. Relationships don't work one-sided. You can't be like, we're in a relationship, but I'm not going to give to the relationship. It won't work. It just will not work. If I'm going to give you my heart in this relationship, I expect you to give me your heart in this relationship.
Right.
And God expects you to give the right heart.
Yeah. Amen.
You know, working to take hold or working to understand means that you have to invest your heart in something that means much more, something that means so much more to you. Like the saints who came before us, we also have to put work in. You know, Moses had to put a lot of work in. David had to put a lot of work in.
Yep.
Abraham had to put a lot of work in.
Yeah, that's so true.
You know, do not allow people to mislead you by saying that they have grace, and they do not have to put in the put to practice the things of God. You see, God loves you, but God wants you to put the things that he is teaching you, that he is preaching to you, that he has written down a scripture to you. He wants you to put those things into practice.
Yes.
You know, verse 13 says, Jesus said to them, I like that Jesus said, okay, look, okay, you guys are here, disciples in club. So let's reveal to you what this parable is all about. Jesus said, don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? He says, the farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path. He says, where the word is sown, as soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Mm-hmm. Let me read something to you. This first part talks about a shallow heart. It says, this heart is like thin soil on a rock. Very typical. It says, since there is no depth, whatever is planted cannot last. He says, cannot last to become a genuine disciple. It says, they may be great enthusiasm for several days or weeks, but when persecution and difficulties begin, the enthusiasm wanes and the joy disappears. Mm-hmm. It is easy for fallen human nature to counterfeit religious feelings and give a professed Christian feeling of false confidence. Mm-hmm. Read another one to you. Talks about a hard heart. A hard heart resists the word of God and makes it easy for Satan, the birds, to snatch it away. Mm-hmm. Talking about a hard heart. Soil becomes hard when too many feet tread on it. Those who recklessly open their hearts to all kinds of people and influences are in danger of developing hard hearts. Mm-hmm. Hard hearts must be plowed before they can receive the seed, and this can be a painful experience. Mm-hmm. If any of you have ever been to the studies, like most of us have, it was joyful, but it was painful. Mm-hmm. We were being awakened to some things about our character that we didn't realize. Like, I'm in the dark?
Yeah.
What do you mean I'm in the dark? Well, hold on, wait a minute. Grandma had the Bible open on the table. Hold on, wait a minute. My mom goes to church here and there. Hold on, wait a minute. I'm in the dark. It's one thing to say, okay, the family goes to church. But it's another thing when God says, well, let's open up my word. Let me let you see it with your own eyes.
Mm-hmm.
You begin to realize where your heart is at. Mm-hmm. You see, the reason why he talks about the first parable, he says Satan takes it away because the heart is hard. Is your heart hard this morning? Is your heart hard this morning?
Mm-hmm.
Verse 16 says, other seeds sown on rocky places, says they hear the word and at once receive it with joy, but since they have no root, they last only a short time. Mm-hmm. When trouble, persecution comes because of what? The Bible, the word, they fall away. Mm-hmm. God don't mix words. God said, that's the heart talk, that shallow heart. Oh yeah, I'm a church goer. Oh yeah, amen, I'm all good. Hey, yes, Jesus Lord. God said, yeah, that's gonna be tested real quick. We're gonna test it with the fire. You're gonna be shown for who you are. The heart is shallow.
Mm.
Is your heart shallow this morning? Has your heart been shallow for a long time? The next parable he says, still others like seed sown among thorns, they hear the word. But the worries of this life. What do we know about worries?
Yeah.
The worries of the deceitfulness of wealth. Who does not want to be wealthy and rich? Well, it says, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Research says a crowded heart. Man, do we have a crowded heart? He says, the heart pictures the person who receives the word but does not truly repent and remove the weeds out of his or her heart. This hearer has too many kinds of seeds growing in the soil.
Ah.
worldly cares, a desire for riches, and lust for things, and the good seed of the word has no room in which to grow. To change the image, this person wants to walk the broad way and the narrow way at the same time. And it cannot be done. Be heard, but you can't both love the world and God.
That's right.
God said, you're trying to grow me, but you're trying to grow the world at the same time. Light and day have nothing in common. It's going to be one or the other. And finally, Jesus ends with this other parable, the last parable, last part to this parable, I should say. He says, others like seed sown on good soil, they hear the word, they accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. How powerful. The last one represents a fruitful heart. This heart pictures the true believer because fruit, a changed life, is the evidence of true salvation. The other three produce no fruit. So we can conclude that they belong to the person who never had been born again. Not all true believers are equally, not all truth are equally as productive, but from every genuine disciple's life, there will be some evidence of spiritual fruit.
Yes.
What kind of heart do you have? I love it. Yeah, every disciple is not going to be productive in every area, but you can be productive in some area for God. God says, I want your heart. He says, but beware of that Jeremiah 17:9 heart. That's a man trying to control their own heart. Oh, God, no, I know what's best for my heart. God, I know my heart's good. But God says, give your heart to me and delight your ass in my way. I'm going to close out with this saying here. As we all pondered about, man, where is my heart at this moment? Who does my heart belong to? Does it belong to me or does it belong to God? I want to read something I read I thought was very powerful. It says, once God has your heart, he is able to guide and direct you in every area of your life. Did you get that? He says, once God has your heart, so you got to give it to him. But once God has it, he's able to direct your life in every area of your life. He says, there are many examples in the Bible of God working through individuals who have surrendered their hearts to him. David had a heart that was after God, and God used him in a mighty way. Zacchaeus had a burning desire to see Jesus, and he responded immediately when Jesus called him. Caleb showed faith in the power of God in the face of what looked like insurmountable odds. He followed God wholeheartedly, and unlike most of the others who died in the wilderness because of their disobedience, was allowed to enter the promised land. Samuel listened to and obeyed God, and as a result was used by God as a prophet and judge to the people of Israel. When God approached Gideon, who was the least in his father's household, God recognized a heart that would respond and be obedient to him.
Amen.
Amen.
Daniel's heart was so committed to God that God felt free to reveal secrets to him.
That's right.
Each one of these individuals had a heart that was fully devoted to God. And all of these people are role models for us today. Mm-hmm. Their significance in the Bible begins with their relationship with God. Likewise, our significance begins with our relationship with God. When God has your heart, he has everything that relates to you in your life. All of our giving springs out of the genuine relationship that we have with our Heavenly Father. As we develop and deepen that relationship, God will work in us and work through us.
That's right.
If you haven't given your whole heart to God today, well, right now is a good time to start.
All right, then.
Let's abandon the hard-heartedness. Let's step away from having a shallow heart. Let's give God our heart.
Amen.
Let's give God our heart and watch what God does with us. As God says, that type of heart will sow things that are 30, 60, and 100 times more than we can even imagine. Give God your heart, build your relationship, and let God prosper you. Amen. To our God be the glory. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.